Grab your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Mark. It's a joy and a thrill and a privilege to be in God's house tonight. And I would not trade what we've already felt in this place tonight for $1 million. And I was bearing witness with our guitar player over here tonight. And I saw him getting happy, and I thought, I know what he's feeling. And I thank God that I'm not a foreigner to what's going on in here tonight. And I praise the Lord for old-time religion and the power of God. And isn't it good to feel His presence tonight?
Amen.
Amen. It's good to have my daddy with me tonight. Good to have my father-in-law, Steve, with me tonight, and some friends from all over. And I'm as nervous as I've ever been right now. And how many of you know we need the Lord?
Amen.
I told God coming in, I said, God, help me to be small so You can be big. We need the Lord tonight. And our nation's at a crossroads, and if a fancy sermon could get the job done, the job would have already been done. If a fancy song could get the job done, it would have already been done. But I think that ever before, we are at an understanding where we need the Lord in His power and in His unction and Holy Ghost unction more now than we've ever needed it before. I appreciate a meeting like this that's continuing on, and it's not a time to quit, it's a time to keep on going. And I was raised in a meeting like this, and it's where God filled me and touched me and changed me, and I've never wanted anything different because I got the real stuff as a kid, and I appreciate what God's doing right here. Brother Dagenhart, I salute you, and I thank you for being a man of God in this generation and keeping something like this going on. And I salute you all for supporting it and backing it up. And I'm honored beyond words to be able to stand behind this pulpit and preach tonight. I want to dive in to Mark chapter number 5. Mark chapter number 5. Verse number 1, the Bible said, and they, Daddy, I'm preaching for 30 minutes. When I get to 25, I want you to point at me, all right? My daddy always taught me, if a man gives you time, you preach under the time. And my daddy, I'm 33, but he'll still beat me, so I'm going to obey, all right? Mark chapter number 5, the Bible said, and they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains. And the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broke in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. When he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him and cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, come out of a man, thou unclean spirit. Father, I pray you'd help me now. God, as we dive into your word, I'm very aware that I, God, possess nothing at all, God, that can get the job done tonight. But Lord, I must remind you that I did not volunteer to do what I'm doing tonight. God, you called me, and I ask in the name of Jesus for the Spirit of the living God, Lord, to fall upon me afresh and anew. God, not only anoint me, but God, anoint those seated in this place, God. And may the power and the presence of God, along with the name of Jesus, be lifted high and holy in this place. And God, for everything that you do, we'll be careful to give you the glory and the praise. God, let me be small so you can be big. It's in Jesus' name we pray and ask it. And all God's people said, amen and amen. I am interested tonight in Mark chapter number 5. If you've been in church any time at all, you have heard the story of the maniac of Gadara. But we know that we don't know a whole lot about this man. We don't know where his demons came from. We don't know what he was doing to get possessed. But we do know a couple characteristics of this man that lets us look in a peek into his life and maybe give us a better understanding of who he was and where he come from. As we look at his characteristics, the very first thing that I understood as I studied the text, number one, that he was a normal man. He, at one point in time in his life, he was not the maniac of Gadara, but at one time in his life, he could have claimed the fact, behold, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. At one point in time, he was as normal a man as you and I. Therefore, you and I should heed the warning of what sin can do to the life of a man. It can take you from being a normal person with all the dreams and aspirations and the family and goal, only for sin to grab a hold of you and take you from being a complete normal man to being a complete mess of a life. Oh my, I think in my life, the people that I have known that had great dreams, that had great potential, but they played games with sin and they lost, because you can't play with sin and win. And the story of this maniac is a man that turned into a mess because he played with sin. He turned into a mess. You say, how do you figure that? Well, this man began to live and dwell among the tombs. And let me be quick to say this here. If you're somebody that thinks it's a good idea to go down to Cabela's and buy you a tent and go put it up at the graveyard and camp out at the graveyard for 2 or 3 days, you are way too weird for me. This man is living and dwelling among the tombs. Can I say it like this? He was living in a dead place. You know what I have found out about people? That where you live has a whole lot to do with who you live with. And who you live with has a whole lot to do with how you live. Daddy always told me, son, you are who you run with. This man was living in a dead place among dead people. And if you're not careful, hanging out with the wrong people at the wrong places, before you know it, you will start hanging out at the wrong places with the wrong people. And before you know it, you will be the wrong people. What got a hold of him? An unclean spirit. What's that mean? His spirit was unclean. Before he knew it, his actions, his lifestyle, everything about him had turned upside down. And what was supposed to be a pure spirit now has turned into an unclean spirit that is ruling his entire life. You know, unclean spirits don't just hang out at dead in graveyards. Did you know sometimes they hang out in churches? Sometimes unclean spirits hang out at churches. Hey, I ain't talked to nobody, but every church has got 2 or 3 of them. And that person walks in the back door, and as soon as everybody sees them walk in, they run away. Why? Because they know everything coming out of that mouth is going to be negative and nasty and ain't nothing good enough. The carpet ain't the right color. The preaching ain't good enough. It's either too short or too long. Ain't nothing good enough. You done went to 15,000 different churches in North Carolina and you keep blaming every preacher in the country, when the best thing you could do is say, it probably ain't the other churches in the area. It's probably I got an unclean spirit somewhere, and that unclean spirit will rule and reign, and before you know it, you're going to be a mess. Let me ask you this. You ever been in a mess before? Boy, I have. I was preaching for my good friend Jonathan McNeese in Columbus, Georgia this past fall. We have a common liking to the deer hunting, and so we do a little bit of preaching and a whole lot of deer hunting while I'm there. Say amen right there. And it was in the middle of October down in Columbus, Georgia. And I preached for him. The meeting ended. We got our sound equipment loaded up in the trailer and was headed back to Anderson, South Carolina to get home to go to the next place the next day. I no more than got on the main road and blue lights come up behind me and pulled me over. Now, if you know me at all, you know one of two things. Number one, I'm a hypochondriac extraordinaire. If you got a disease, I can't even talk to you about it, because before I know it, I have convinced myself that I got a disease. I told Becky the other day, I was reading on WebMD, and I told her, I think I need to have a hysterectomy. I didn't know what was going on. I mean, I am plagued. If you coughing, don't come shake my hand, honey. Go somewhere else. I am a hyper. Second of all, I am scared to death of going to jail. I pay my taxes early. I do the speed limit. I do everything I know to do. And this day, I ain't done nothing more than pull out on the main road and hear these lights come behind me. He comes up to the door. I'm doing everything I know to do. I got hands at 10 and 2. I'm talking nicely to the policeman, trying to get him on my good side. And I say, sir, what can I help? He said, sir, license and registration, please. And I said, sir, I've never really had any, but ask for my license, driver's registration. When I'm getting pulled over for a routine traffic stop, I said, I just pulled out. He said, I'll be the one to determine if it's a routine traffic stop or not. He said, sir, the sooner you be quiet, the quicker this will go. I thought, Lord, help us all. He went back to the car, and Tucker's in the back seat saying, Daddy, are you going to jail? I said, no, son, hang on. I said, I ain't got a tag on the back of my trailer. South Carolina, you don't have to. In Georgia, you do. That's all it is. I said, he's going to come back. And about 15 minutes later, I see that cop stepping back towards the vehicle. But this time, he's got his gun in his hand, and he's walking up to my vehicle. He says, Mr. Townsend, please step out of the vehicle. I thought, Lord, I've never been asked to get out of the vehicle. I said, sir, are you sure? I've never had a cop ask me to get out of the car before. He said, sir, please step out of the car. I don't want to do this in front of your family. Elizabeth, I thought, Lord, what's wrong? I started stepping back to the car, and he said, sir, please step back here. He said, please put your hands against the car. I said, could you please tell me what's wrong? He said, Mr. Townsend, there's a warrant for your arrest in South Carolina, and they are asking me to extradite you immediately and get you back to their authorities. I thought, Lord, I ain't done nothing wrong. One of them Baptist people done framed me for something. I don't know what's wrong. I thought, Lord, the only thing I could think of is the DNR being mad because I might have killed one more deer than I should have. I said, I don't know what's going on. And he put me in that car, slammed the door on me, and for a good 10 or 15 minutes, I'm sitting back there. Let me say this. Your prayer life will get in good shape in the back seat of a car, cop car. I'm back here, I'm praying, I'm confessing sins I never even done. I'm doing everything I can to get God to get me out of this mess. Some of y'all act like y'all been in the back of a cop car before. I'm saying, God, get me out of this. 10 or 15 minutes go by. I'm back there praying that God would deliver me. I was saying, Lord, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. This is a good time to come back. And about that time, I heard the middle partition begin to open up. It was pitch black, dark, couldn't see nothing. And all I could see when light finally hit the faces, I seen Pastor Jonathan McNeese come through that back window. He said, I forgot to give you your love offering, so I had one of my members stop you till I could get to you. And about that time, 360 degrees all the way around my car, all I could hear was about 200 Baptist people laughing and giggling. And they was, they put me out of the car, and they's all laughing at me. You say, was you mad at first? But then I thought, I'm just glad that I'm free. I'm glad I'm delivered. I started hugging all of them, saying, thank you. In my mind, God had worked things around and pulled things out of darkness and made it set me free. You ever been in a mess before? You know, that's a funny story. But did you know there's people under this tent right now or under this tabernacle right now that the only reason they come tonight is because they left a mess at home, and they come here needing something from God.
and they need God to deliver them, and they're bound down with unclean spirits. They're bound down with demons of depression and anxiety. They're demons of addiction and drug, alcohol, and all the things this world has to offer. And may I say, in this day and age, I'm glad to report that we still serve a God that has the ability to set people free, to set their minds free, to set their hearts free. I believe in old time Holy Ghost deliverance. I believe that the power of God's so real that what you walked in here with tonight, you could walk out free under the blood of Jesus and the power of God. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things passed away. Behold, all things become new. His characteristics. Then we see his change. This man is up on the mountainside weeping and crying, cutting himself with stones. But this night, he looks out over the Sea of Galilee, and the storms are brewing, the winds are blowing, the storm clouds are raging. And maybe, just maybe, he sees down through there, and he sees a man walk out on the edge of the boat. And when he lifts his hands, them storm clouds disappear. The waves lay down as calm as the day they was created. The winds lay down. And maybe that maniac, the same way you felt the first time you saw him or fell under Holy Ghost conviction, you thought, I believe that's him. That's the one I've heard about. That's the one I've heard them talking about when they come by. I've heard about what he's done for other people. I wonder if he could do anything for me. And on the other side, honey, don't you think for a second that it's just happenstance that Jesus' boat began to come towards the Gadarenes. I'm glad that God is on purpose and he knew where he was going. It's a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Jesus Christ died for sinners. The whole town may have given up on that maniac. His mama may have given up on that maniac. His daddy may have given up on that maniac. But there was one named Jesus that never gave up on that man. Anybody else glad Jesus never gave up on you? And the boat headed toward the Gadarenes and bucked up there where the maniac was. The Bible said Jesus got off the boat and that maniac came and fell at the feet of Jesus. Jesus spoke to those unclean spirits and he changed him. Don't try to convince me that you had a real experience with Jesus if it didn't change you. If Jesus ever gets a hold of you, he will change you. All my life, Brother Dagenhart, I grew up in a Christian home. My mom and daddy got saved right before I was born. My whole family outside of us was lost as blind goats and tall weeds. No Jesus, no Bible, no church, no nothing. And the worst of all of them was my grandma, my mama's mom. She, most friends of mine, when they would witness to their grandparents or family, they'd at least be nice about it. My grandma would cuss us and laugh at us, tell us we was part of a cult. She wanted nothing to do with God. I don't ever remember time, vacation, Bible school, anything that we didn't raise our hand and say, please ask God to save my grandma. We don't want her to go to hell. God saved my grandpa right before he died. And grandma began to live by herself. And she always loved me to death. I was her favorite grandchild. She always told me to quit singing them Jesus songs and start singing Conway Twitty and make some money. Some of y'all act like y'all don't know who Conway Twitty is. And all of this stuff began to transpire. Grandma was lost, unapologetic about it, wanted nothing to do with God. God called me to preach. I went off to Bible school and sat under a man of God and did what God had told me to do. And I just had graduated. And my mama called. She said, your grandma has found out you coming to town. And she wants to talk to you. Usually that meant chicken and biscuits and gravy and everything you could possibly think of. But this time I pulled up that gravel driveway, walked in the little screen door of the house, and there my little grandma was in the back. And she tried to smile, but she couldn't. She dropped her head, and I ran to her, and she'd been having some medical problems, and I ran to Grandma. I said, "Grandma, what's going on?" She sat down. She was just a-crying, which was a big deal because I never seen my grandma cry. My mama would tell you she never heard her mother say, "I love you." She never saw her mother cry. She ran around on my grandpa. She lived her life up drunk and partied all of her life. Just a West Virginia mountain woman. It wouldn't have been good to have reality TV in her day. She'd have been one of them. But all this stuff's going on. And I walk in there and I sat her down on that little chair in her house. I said, "Grandma, what's going on?" She said, "I've just been thinking about all your boy's life. All you try to do is get me to come to church and hear y'all preach." And she said, "I've been so rude." She said, "I just wanted to tell you that I'm sorry." Holy Ghost said, "That ain't all she wants to talk about." I said, "Granny, that ain't all you need to talk about, is it?" She said, "No." She said, "CT, you know all my life I ain't never cared about heaven or hell for two straight seconds. It ain't never bothered me. I've never cared about it." She said, I thought y'all was crazy. She said, "I thought your daddy's a religious nut. I've never cared about any of this stuff." She said, "But 3 nights ago," she said, "in the middle of the night, I woke up." She said, "And I, for the first time in my life, knew that if I died, that I'm going to hell. And if I go to hell, I'll never see my family again because all of y'all are going to heaven." She said, "I tried to shake it off. I tried to sleep it off." She said, "But for 3 days and for 3 nights, I can't sleep and I can't eat. All I can think about is if I die, that I'm going to hell." She said, "CT, what's going on with me? I feel like I'm losing my mind." She said, "I don't want to go to hell." She said, "When I heard you was coming to town, I wanted to ask you one question." I said, "What's that, Grandma?" She said, "Do you think that your God, after all these years and all the sins I've done and all the wicked lifestyle I've lived, she said, do you think that your God could still save somebody like me?" The preacher, them ghost bumps come up on the back of my neck. I said, "Grandma, you look at me." I said, "The only reason you can't sleep and you can't eat is because there is a God in heaven that knows where you are, that knows you ain't got long yet to live." I said, "And the God of heaven has sent old time Holy Ghost conviction to settle down on your heart." I said, "Yes, Grandma, God can save you. He does love you. He can reach you. You ain't went too far. You ain't done too much wrong. God can save you, Grandma." Seminary, they taught me a sinner didn't know how to pray, so you had to help him. I said, "Grandma," I said, "I learned this prayer down at the college." I said, "I want you, don't talk to me, but you talk to God. Say, dear Jesus, I'm a sinner. I was expecting this little repetitive prayer." But Grandma started calling out on God. Let me say this. When you're under Holy Ghost conviction, you don't need that little prayer practice. Grandma started calling out on God. She started calling out on God. She started saying, "God, forgive me, a sinner. God, come into my heart." And right there in that little old house, I heard my grandma calling out on God and confessing sins. I wish I'd have never heard her confess. I mean, my grandma called out on God. It was one of the most heavenly places I've ever been in my life. As Grandma, with all of her sin, all of her iniquity, and all of her past, versus the blood of Jesus, and the blood won, y'all. The blood saved my grandma and washed her as white as snow. And there was a change. Her face was different. Her actions was different. I begged her all my life to come to church. She wouldn't go. The very first thing she said after I got done, she said, "Ain't you preaching tonight?" I said, "Yes, ma'am." She said, "What time you coming to get me?" I said, "We'll be by 6 o'clock that night. Come by." They walked in church. As far as I know, she'd never been in church with us. She sat down in that pew. She sat down there. I mean, everything going on. We sing in 346, my name is in the book of life. Oh, bless the name of Jesus. People's worshiping and shouting. I hadn't dropped the bomb yet. Nobody knew she got saved yet. And I looked down at Grandma, Granny's going. And I knew she wouldn't stop. I said, y'all shake hands. I said, Grandma, oh, what's the matter with you? She said, I want to say something. I said, Grandma, the Bible says you can't talk for 48 hours. You can't. She couldn't read nor write. She'll never know. God will tell her one day. I said, I thought for sure she may have found somebody that belonged to the same bingo club as she did, and she's going to make things right with the microphone. I said, Grandma, no. My mama give me that look, and I said, Grandma, practice it in my ear. What are you wanting to say? She went to squalling again, preacher. She said, I just want to tell these people that God came to my house today.
Amen, preacher. Woo! Amen. Yeah!
She said, I just want to tell these people that God came to my house today. And she said, and who I was ain't who I am no more. I got that microphone, and one of the sweetest things in my memory is my grandma grabbing that microphone and testifying to the fact that there's one named Jesus that can make a definite change in a man's life. It's 2015, but the blood of Calvary and the blood of Jesus still has the ability to wash the heart of man. It don't matter how far gone you are. It don't matter how sinful you are. The blood of Jesus can take a black heart washed in red blood, and it can come out as white as snow. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood and lose all their guilty stains. I bless the name of Jesus that there's not a sinner too far gone that the blood cannot reach them where they are. Help me, boys. I'm glad that the blood of Jesus is the answer. Listen to me. I don't care what the Supreme Court has to say. I don't care what these have to say. What this nation needs and what the world needs is a revival of the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus and the power of God. I'm telling you, there's nobody that's too far gone that the blood can't go to where they're at. Anybody glad that the blood found you one night? Anybody glad that the blood came to where you was? Your mama may have gave up on you. Your daddy may have gave up on you. But the blood of Jesus didn't give up on you. It washed you. It cleansed you. It saved you. It redeemed you. It purified you. It made you an heir of royalty and a child of God. I thank God today that the blood still gets the job done. That old boy said, Jesus, can I just keep on hanging out with you? Jesus said, no. Go home and tell thy friends what great things the Lord has done for thee. The Bible said he went and began to publish. That word published, same Greek word as the word preach. I can't help but think about that boy on his way home, preacher, as he's heading back down the road, and he ain't seen his family, he ain't seen his friends, he's been an outcast for so long. As he's going down the road and he's got a new joy inside him, he's clothed and in his right mind, them 6,000 demons that had a hold of him, he's been set free of. And as he walks down the road, maybe, just maybe, one of his old running buddies said, is that you? I ain't seen you in years. He said, yeah, it's me. They said, what happened to you? And all you could hear this boy say is, for a long time I traveled down a long, lonely road. My heart was so heavy, in sin I sank low. Then I heard about Jesus. What a wonderful hour. I'm so glad that I found out he would bring me out through his seven powers. I've been born again. Oh, hallelujah! I'm saved, saved, saved by His wonderful grace. I'm so glad that I found out He would bring me out and show me the way. Like a bird out of prison that's taken its flight, like a blind man that God gave back his sight. Oh, like a poor wretched beggar who found fortune and fame. I'm so glad that I found out He would bring me out and show me the way. Y'all help me sing it to the Lord. Thank God I am free, free, free. I've been washed in the blood. Whoa! Oh! Hallelujah! I'm saved, saved, saved by His wonderful grace. I'm so glad that I found out He would bring me out. I want some free people to stand to your feet and sing that chorus. Thank God I am free, free. I'm not at the graveyard no more. I'm not living in sin no more. I'm not in drugs no more. Washed in the blood of Jesus, I've been born again. Oh, hallelujah, I'm saved, saved, saved by His wonderful grace. I'm so glad that I found out He would bring me out and show me the way. Help me now. Oh, thank God I am free, free, free. Y'all got to think about that.
From this world of sin, I've been washed in the blood of Jesus.
Yeah, honey, I'm free. Oh, hallelujah, I'm saved, saved, saved by His wonderful grace. I'm so glad that I found out He would bring me out and
show me the way.
For a long time I traveled down a long, lonely road. My heart was so heavy, in sin I sank low. But then I heard about Jesus. What a wonderful hour. I'm so glad that I found out He would bring me out through His saving power. Come on, lift the roof now. Thank God I am free,
free, free from this world of sin.
I've been washed in the blood of Jesus. I've been born again.
Tonight, I tell you, y'all just wait right here. How about y'all singing? This is CT's father-in-law, Steve Hurst.